Welcome to the Bite Size Book Club podcast, She Well Read. We're your hosts, Alana
and Samra, and we're two Black girls in our mid-20s who are on a journey to get back into reading.
Our goal is to encourage women to not only read any and everything, but to also read at your own pace. Each episode, we take a bite-sized approach to reading by breaking down one chapter of a book and diving into a multitude of topics.
We see reading as a source of empowerment and want to bring people together through shared experiences and provide a platform that promotes reading as a source of empowerment.
Thanks for being here, and let's get on to the show. Hey, well-read baddies. Welcome to another episode of She Well Read. I'm Alana.
And I'm Samra.
And today we have the pleasure. I don't know what it is, but these Black 365 episodes have been hitting, and I doubt that this one will be any different. Today we have a Winnie on the show with us. Hello, Winnie. Thank you for being here. So Winnie, give our audience a little sneak peek introduction of yourself, if you will.
Okay, awesome. So hi, I'm Winifred, or Winnie, as most know me by. I am an author and small business owner of Wins Books Publishing and Wins Books LLC. And what I do is I help support authors in any type of form, whether it be marketing, editing, designing, graphic design, publishing their works, or just, again, giving advice or guidance or workshops for authors and writers who need it.
Amazing. Yes, I was looking at your website and I was like, what doesn't she do?
Yeah.
That's what it's giving. So what kind of like got you into that space of like wanting to create your own LLC and almost like low-key literature media conglomerate, low-key?
Hell is going, it probably will be a conglomerate before I'm like 35, but
hey, listen, we're speaking it.
Yes, gonna claim it. But it started, art and writing have always been my chicken and egg. I never knew which came first, but I knew I loved both since I was a baby.
Wait, I love that. And chicken and egg.
Yes, it, no, truly my chicken and egg. When everyone asks me, like, when did you start writing? I'm like, when I started drawing? I don't know. I don't.
Yeah, they kind of just go together.
Yeah, hand in hand. And so I had always been like, I come from a long line of storytellers, so I always told stories and wrote stories, and my parents kind of just pushed me and be like, hey, you keep talking about the same story the last year and a half, why don't you try to write it and make a book or something? And I was like, okay, I'll try. I don't know if I'll like it. And then I quickly said, oh no, I love this. And then I said, well, let me see if I can try to self-publish and, you know, go through that. And, you know, at the beginning, I didn't know what I was doing, but I was like, no, I want to keep doing this, because I had already started writing two more books in this series that was supposed to be a standalone in the first place. And then it ended, now it's going to be six books in the series. And I don't know how that ventured so far out, but
you're like, wait, what happened? How,
oh no, trust me, I am. I, when one of my reader friends, she was like, so after this, are you doing another series? I said, I don't know. I think I'm just going to do a standalone and that'll be it. And then I think a week later, I said, I have another idea. And it was like seven books, I think. Yeah.
You went from standalone to seven. That is hilarious.
Listen, it's a problem. I have so many works that after the God Science series is finished, that it's, oh, they're already set. They already have their lore set. They already have their ideas. I'm waiting to write, because I'm like, if I start writing, I'm gonna be like, oh, I can publish this. And then, no, Winnie, don't do that. Finish one series.
Yeah. I feel that. That's like me having like 20 million tabs open on my laptop.
Yes.
Trying to do literally everything at once. Yeah.
The way I do that, I'm like, well, if I just split them into three different windows, it's not 20 anymore. It's only like six.
See, I will do that and still have 20 tabs in each window.
Have y'all, if you use Chrome, you can do like the tabs that are like the groups. Have y'all gotten on the groups?
Yep, like the folders.
Oh, I have not gotten.
Yes. Oh, mm-hmm. So when you do, okay, I don't even know how y'all, so... I'm trying to think about it now, because I'm like, oh, I used to do this all the time. But whenever I was a big tab person, right? Like, I was like, I cannot shut these tabs down until I finish this project. Like, I can't. You can, like, select. Hold on.
Yeah, it's like you star the link or, like, star the, like, the web bar. And then you can, like, create a folder, like, for whatever you want that web bar to.
Oh, you're talking about bookmark.
Oh, you're talking about something else then.
No, like, okay, if you right-click.
Oh, I thought that was a...
If you right-click, you can add a tab to a group. And then you can have groups of tabs. And it changes the game because then you can hide all of... You can hide a group or open a group based on what project you're working on.
That sounds like a big problem because, oh, goodness gracious.
Yeah, I'm going to need a tutorial.
Yeah, I feel that would be, oh, that would be great, but both a good and bad thing.
Cause,
yeah.
Because you'll never shut your computer down again.
Oh, no. He's already tired. And
I know.
She got 4 more hours to go, so I don't know what to tell her.
Right, like, you're in it for the long haul, baby girl. I'm a business. I'm a conglomerate.
Yes.
Literally. Yeah. Which, speaking of, okay, so I know you self-published your books. Can you tell us about your self-publishing journey? We've had a few people come on the show and talk about that, but we get asked about that constantly. Like, what are the best go-to advice? Like, how do you know if you're ready to self-publish? Like, all those types of things.
Right. So, and again, for those who do need that help, again, see me afterwards, or as most people say, see me later.
Mm-hmm. We'll have the description. We'll have all the links.
But for me, it started, I live in this era of delusion. And I thought, you know what? All I need to do is just write the book, edit it, get a cover. And again, I was thinking this is going to be a standalone. So I was like, oh, I just, you know, I'll get the cover and just publish, and then in 3 days I'm going to be a New York Times best-selling author, and I'm going to be on every talk show across America. Like, that's right. Exactly how that works.
Right.
So when I published on Friday, and then I went to bed, and you know, Monday came around, I'm like, okay, so where are my $1 million of book sales? I'm so what happened?
Hello?
I thought that's exactly how this goes, and I quickly found out, no, Winnie, that's not how any of this goes. And I soon found that I had to actually market and tell people about my books and not just put one post on, well, Twitter then and Facebook and be like, hey, I have a book out to, you know, my family as of 50, and just be like, yeah, oh yeah, all of them are going to tell 50 people and they're going to tell 50, and then I'm going to be, no, it's not how that works. So it was very much having to go back to the drawing board, and I end up having to re-release the first book because, again, it's as I don't know why I thought it was going to be a standalone with how I wrote the ending. I was like, yeah, this definitely was supposed to be having another book attached to it. So then I started writing the second book because I read, oh, to market your book, you can write a second book. I'm like, well, that's perfect. I can do that. This book has a perfect leeway into that. And then book two, instead of duology, it became a trilogy. And then I just kept going. And I was like, oh, maybe I should be, if I'm going to continue this, I should be a bit more serious about it. And I kind of laid out my pros and cons because I love a pros and cons list. Oh my goodness.
Love
I love a pros
and cons,
list. Yes. Just love seeing my goods and my bads. Just chef kiss. So I decided, okay, here are the pros to continuing this. Here are the cons. And again, I think with everything, the biggest con was just money and time, but that's for everything. And then all the pros were just, again, the freedom to create, the freedom to write, meet other writers, meet other authors, continue to learn about publishing and marketing. And I really liked that. And I said, you know what? I'm going to continue this. I'm going to start Wins Books, and Wins Books started first just as my blog, and I pray no one reads any of the blogs I started at the beginning, which are just, they were just hodgepodge and put together of everything. I just rolled up, I was like, I'm just going to write about everything because everyone wants to know what I'm doing.
Well, I'm the main character.
Like I said, I live in an era of delusion.
We all live a little like that, I believe. I think, at least I can speak for myself. I too live in that sometimes.
Yes, have your air of delusion. Jeez. Yes. But definitely, after I started the blog and I was like, okay, this is where I'm going to start really becoming, doing this as a small business and doing this more as a career path. And when I continued that, I started seeing, kind of the waywards of self-publishing. Again, like I said, the biggest con is money. And, I've always had a great support team and I love to talk. So it was easy for me to really get out there and market and push for my book. But I kept seeing that it was harder for others or people, again, didn't know, or they were in the same space I was where, even though my parents are great and supportive, they didn't really know anything about publishing or, the creative industry. And, I didn't really have other family who did. For those who don't know, I'm African. So the creative arts aren't very, I don't want to say highlighted. Let me say highlighted or uplifted as encouraged. Yes. Mm-hmm. As other forms of careers as others, as I can put it. So I kind of was, again, I wanted to help others who needed the help with the little knowledge I knew and what I was learning too. And as I continue to help people, I continue to learn from others and again, grow in this space. And then really that's how Wizbooks became its LLC, because it started off with me just going, okay, I'm going to blog for me. And then, one person came and then two and then three. And now I'm like, okay, I have 100 authors who I've spotlighted, I've interviewed, I've supported, and I want to continue to do this. And then that just, again, grew now into this publishing company.
It's crazy the journey that one little project or one idea can take you down. It's like, oh my God, my whole life has changed now. And I'm seeing a whole different trajectory. When you wrote that first book, did you see yourself in the marketing space at that time? Or what were you doing then?
Yeah, so I was in college. So I had first only had studio art as a major. And then I quickly added communications and marketing to that because I'm insane. But as I, again, continued to learn about marketing and different marketing tactics, I really loved, of course, graphic design. Surprise, surprise, the artist loves to draw. And I really wanted to continue to do branding and design work for other people, because not everyone, again, just because you can write doesn't mean you can draw. Just because you can draw doesn't mean you can write. So being able to do projects and support other people through that really pushed me more into the marketing sphere than I had anticipated at all. I really thought I was going to, finish college, get a, a design or graphic design job and, just continue that until I'm 65 and then retire and move to the Caribbean or Africa or something like that. But
right. You had a whole trajectory and then it kind of shifted, but it feels like it's your purpose. That's what it's giving.
Oh yeah, definitely. I think, when I really sat down again, I think it was right the end of 2019, because I published Child of Tempest in January of 2019. So at the end of 2019, I was like, I need to get serious about, if I'm going to do this, I have to go gung ho. That was my New Year's resolution. Go gung ho about this, get a new book cover design, re-edit, redo all of this. But if I'm going to do this, that means I'm serious about being a writer and I'm serious about being an author and I'm serious about continuing this as a potential career and, source of living. And once I did that, it's opened so many doors and I've been able to, mark off so many things on my bucket list so early and be able to travel and, pay for trips for family. And it's just been great. And, the fact that I'm doing it as something I do love and I love to support and create a community is just a cherry on top.
Ah, a blessing.
No, that is such goals. Which, speaking of marking things off your bucket list. Was being an Amazon bestseller on there, or did that just kind of like happen and you're like, well, that's a plus?
Yeah. Oh, listen, that was a fault, as delusional as I can be. That was a fault on me, because I had that title for, I think, over a year and a half. Mm-hmm. And I didn't put any two and two together. I was like, oh, my book has been rated in like a top 10 list. I was like, oh, my other book has been rated top. Oh, this one was released like number one in its category. And, you know, I just kind of sat and just went about my days. And then, you know, I sat down, I think last year or the year before. And I was like, wait a second. My book is on an Amazon bestseller list. That would make me Amazon best-selling author. Okay. I should probably tell me.
Yeah.
So yeah, for almost like a year.
Oh my goodness, that's so funny.
A year
funny.
Is something like never clicked to, like, I was posting. I was like, yeah, my book got on like a list.
Yeah. Yeah, like, you know, a pretty big list, you know?
Yeah, pretty big one. You know, I never put two and two together. And my family, my friends always say, I'm always everyone's biggest cheerleader, but I always forget to cheer on myself.
Man, so that is a shared experience, I feel like. And I feel like we all do that to a certain extent. Like, and then you self-reflect and you're like, oh, wait, I'm pretty cool too.
Yeah. You know, I, especially when I'm doing events or book signings and people are like, you wrote 4 books in 4 years? I'm like, yeah. Oh, is that like a big thing?
And
I'm like,
you're giving out, yes. What's like, oh, like it's hard?
Yeah. I'm like, oh, it was just, you know, plan, write, publish.
Yeah.
Simple.
Easy recipe. And which also a little background, and I'm going to let you do this, Winnie, of what we're talking about and kind of telling our audience, like, what books you got on the Amazon bestseller list, your whole series, kind of a little bit of deeper dive into all of that.
Yeah. So the main book is, of course, Child of Tempest. That's the one that got the title. I have another book, but it's more for author support, the Authorpreneur Yellow Pages. That also got a bestseller in its first week, which, again, I was like, oh, yeah, I should probably put that out there to people. But yeah, the God Sion series is now, it's 4 books, and the 5th one is being published this August. And then after that, we'll have the 6th one, and it's done. I promise. Promise everyone it'll be done. Listen, I don't know if I'll be.
I was going to say, listen, it sounds like people don't want it to be done.
Listen, I've gotten some reviews where like, oh, I can't wait to read more about this character. And I was like, neither can I. I didn't know.
Like,
you're either going to be really happy with me or really mad with me when this ends, but I don't know.
We need a prequel.
Yes. See? I said, listen, if I'm going to do prequels, I had to let me look at the other books that need to be written. And then we'll
assess.
Because trust me, I have a couple of prequels that are, they're looking me in the eye. I'm like, no, girl, don't do it. You said you're gonna leave the series alone. We'll get back to it. We'll do every, you know, someone asked, or no, a few people have asked or said, like, oh, are you going to do a world building book for the series? Because it's so interesting. I said, it's like, I'll put it on the list.
Damn. Why is this in my head?
Telling you, it's just, I like I said, I have to keep now saying that the main series is 6 books, because the full series, be like 30. And I don't think it'll be enough. Someone's be like, okay, but what about this character from book 3 and chapter 5? Why don't you write about them? And I'm like, okay, short story. Let's write about them too.
Right. Yeah. I mean, why not? You know, look, I love a world because you can really, it's almost like The Sims or like, I don't know. They play Roblox now. Like one of the ones where they build Minecraft. Like you can just keep building out the world. But I do like the idea of like letting it marinate, you know, the, what was it that you said? The main series marinate.
Yes.
And then maybe circling back later, like 10 years later. Like, relax. Like, take your time. You know what I mean? It seems like you got other stories, though.
Oh, yes. Like I said, I've been writing for years. I have, I think my earliest, like, product, it's from, like, 2016. That's still shelved. And it's even more books than the God Size. So, and I don't even know how I want that one. It might be a graphic novel. It might be a graphic novel that married a novel. So it's writing and artwork in between the pages. I don't know. Mm. But that one has been knocking me on the side of the head for the last year and a half. Because it's like, hey, I've been here since 20. It's almost been 10 years and you haven't done it. And I'm like, I know.
But it's okay. It is okay. Right. Because the thing is, I don't know if you feel this way, but like when you revisit the idea, are there things you're like, you know, I liked that. Do you feel like you fine tune it more when you circle back?
Oh, yeah.
Or do you feel like it's like, no, that was it. I'm not touching it. It is what it is.
I think it depends. I kind of have this weird saying, like with my art, I say my art tells me its story and then my writing gives me its picture. So for certain things I've like started like the work in progress. If I don't see its full picture, I won't continue it. I kind of keep it rested. And for that one, I feel like its picture is still, again, it's still in progress. And there are things that, like, now that I go back and I've added, like, again, it's been almost 10 years. I'm still adding things to it, still taking things out. And then there are some that, you know, I got the idea 3 months ago and I'm like, oh, no, this is set, done, and ready. Like, this picture is completed. So, it kind of just depends, you know, the writing tells me if its picture is finished. And if it is, then we can continue after God Science book 6 comes out, we'll continue it.
Love.
But yes, definitely it kind of just it goes from book to book. And again, they just, and like I said, my book babies, they talk to me, so they tell me if they're like, we're ready, you know, to, you know, start this new journey, or, you know, we actually still need more time to bake in the oven.
That is so beautiful.
Yeah, I love hearing about somebody's creative process, because I feel like all of our creative processes are so different and unique, especially when it comes to something like writing, and like when you have people who are like, oh, but I want this, and then it's like, oh, but I want this. And so it's like having to like cater to all of these people while also just kind of trying to stay generalized so it's not like overwhelming either, I feel like. Because I feel like we've gotten that on the show too, where people are like, oh, but we want to see this on the show, and it's, oh, we want to see this, and it's like, okay, that's cool, but also we're only two people who also have like full-time jobs, and like, you know what I mean? So it is a lot. It could be a lot, I feel like.
I think I get that to, I mean, as a writer, you know, our biggest, it's book reviews, and that's where you kind of hear, you know, the most, sometimes the most honest feedback about your books and your writing. And I don't mind, like, review my book how you review it, but I always strive for people to give criticism than just hate. Like, if you just say, I hate the book, okay, that doesn't help me. Like, what do you hate about it? Was it the story building? Was it the world building? Was it the characters? Was it the plot? Like, you know, I'm fine with you not liking the book. Not everyone is going to like my writing. I'm not trying to write for everyone. There's no possible way to do that. But, you know, I love to read reviews and, you know, someone say, oh, well, I don't really like this. It's like, okay, well, let me see how I can incorporate that. Again, I'm not taking everyone's suggestions. There's no way I can do that. Like I said, I can't write about every minuscule character that shows up every two chapters.
Yeah.
Like, there's no, but, you know, taking book reviews as, again, criticism and ways to build upon my writing and make me a better writer, I think has helped me. And, you know, I've seen the progress through the book reviews and also through my writing of how it's been improving. And again, I don't think there is no perfect writer or artist, and you're always learning and growing. And if you're not, then I don't think you can tell yourself that you are the greatest or the best.
Wow.
Because you can't be unless you are growing and you're learning, because things change and perspectives change and ideas change. and new things pop up and new technologies and new cultures and subcultures pop and grow. So, you know, I think for some authors I see, you know, they get upset when they get like certain star ratings or things like that. And, you know, I get the little deep. I'm like, I think it's perfect. And then after I've deflated my big head, I'm like, okay, what are they actually trying to tell me? Like, what can I take from this and better my work for the next reader who's going to read this, or my readers who are sticking with me?
Yeah.
Sometimes it is hard to like cut through the noise, and sometimes you have to be in the right place to like really receive it. And maybe when you read it the first time, you're like not there, and you're like, just like it hit maybe, or it cut too deep, or it hits a nerve that like you're still sensitive about, and like you'll take it personally. But ultimately, I do feel like if your art is in the world, like people should be able to speak on it, you know? Like, why are we keeping our opinions to ourselves? Like, the whole point of art is to start a conversation. So I don't know, that's me. But
no, I agree.
I feel like also too, about the whole like tiny little characters who people want to know more about. Like, I feel like there's kind of this opportunity with the rise of like fan fiction and stuff for fans to take the story further if they so choose. And I do think it's easy to like just sit and like be like, I want to see this. Like, but if we really care, like, you know, we ourselves can take that inspiration and go take it and do something with it for, like, for the culture or whatever it is. Like that Anne Hathaway movie or whatever that's coming out, that's based on like a Harry Styles One Direction fan fiction.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Most of them. That one, I know, I think even Twilight was a fan fiction at some point. Maybe. There was another one that was a fan fiction of something, of, I think, Harry Potter. Then another one that was a One Direction. I think, is it After You or After Something?
I think that's so, something yeah. Something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I've had some writers come to me like, hey, if I've written fan fiction, can we publish? I'm like, well, we can't use anyone's names because I'm not going to court for that.
Right.
But we can, again, it's
there's ways around it.
Yep. There's always a loophole for something. And again, like you're saying, like giving your time, you know, yourself space. Kind of like when I say, like, I get my diva, I'm like, oh, they don't know what they're talking about. They don't know my art, my craft. You know, that's when, you know, I don't reply. I kind of just, I let it be. And then maybe if it's a week or 2 weeks later, I come back and I'm like, okay, the head is deflated now. You know, the ego has relaxed. Let's read what they're actually trying to tell you. And again, if you reread it and you're just like, oh yeah, they're just upset. They didn't like the book. Okay, just let it be. Again, you're not going to be the perfect author or storyteller for everyone. Not everyone even reads the same genre you write in. So there's no possible way to be that. So, you know, just again, knowing when you can take that criticism or, you know, take, I don't want to say jabs, but, you know, take it with a grain of salt, because when you do put anything out there, you expect criticism, expect people are going to love it, expect people aren't going to love it. And we really don't have any, you know, power over how they, you know, receive it or how we receive it. Or no, we do have power over how we receive it, but we have no power of how other people receive what we put out there. And as artists, you kind of, you know, you have to, especially if you're a younger artist, you kind of grow that tougher skin to take that criticism and, you know, do I want to learn from it? Do I want to throw it away? Or do I want to spend 3 hours going back and forth on a Twitter thread fighting with this one person?
Right.
Again, like, I like my sleep. So if you want to do that, have it, you know, have at it.
You can fight with yourself.
Exactly.
Choosing your battles, especially as a small business owner, I feel like you definitely have to do so, because you just can't fight all the battles.
You can't.
Oh, yeah. Yes. I have a thing now where I usually respond if I get snooty comments. I always think it with a positive outlook. And usually, again, if someone responds back, again, you just look crazy now. Because I'm like, there is one guy it was the release date of the publishing company. I'm like, we have opened our doors. And he had come and he's like, well, what can your publishing company do for me that I can't do for myself? And I was like, at first I was like, let me tell this. I was like, you know what? But let's reel it in. I was like, do we really want to start beefing with some guy? I said, no. You got literally that day. I was like, first off, you got to travel. You ain't got time for this. So, you know, after a few hours, I said, you know what, sir? I was like, my publishing company is for people who want to publish under a publishing company. And I provide those services for them. You know, it's not meant for everybody. So, again, if he wants to respond, which he did, he just liked the comment. Because, again, you're just mad now because I service other people who want to be, like, again, you just sound crazy. Like, what are you fighting?
Yeah, with? Thing would have been go to the link in bio, find out what I do. Exactly. That could be different for you. Like, what do you mean?
Exactly. Yeah.
He's obviously interested or something. Like, I don't, really will comment. Just, it is like, okay, algorithm, go off. Do its thing.
Exactly. I have one person say it for our hardcover books. She was like, I don't like the lady on the front. I was like, well, the paperbacks don't have any people. So there you go. Link in bio.
Something for God. Like, yeah. The energy that takes, too. I'm just like, is it really that deep? No. The answer is no.
Going and scrolling.
Yeah. Again, I see tons of things that I don't like. And again, I don't put, like, if I don't like something, I don't give energy to it. Mm-hmm. So I can't conceptualize what other people do that. So I'm always like, but why? Like, why did you? Like, you didn't have any meetings to go to. You don't got a job. You ain't got a dog to feed or like plants to water.
And the thing is, like, they do, and they just be on the internet instead.
Mm-hmm. Listen, your baby is hungry.
That's what I be saying.
All of my comebacks now are just gonna be go get in the booth. Like, word to Lotto. Just go get in the booth.
Oh yeah, go get in the booth, please.
At this point,
you know what? Write a book.
Right. Go write do a book. It.
Put it on the flow.
Put it on the flow.
Yes, please. Because I'm just, again, I've gotten to the point where it's either I respond with kindness or I respond and then I just block them immediately. Oh, so they can't.
That's valid.
I mean, like, first off, block. Or
you just block them. And another thing.
Yes. It's like, so I am getting the last word. And again, if you want to say that, sweetheart, you're just, again, talking to a brick wall now. Right. Because after I've already responded or I blocked you, like, go yell at someone else.
Yeah.
Again, most of my things, like, I'll see it, like, hours later. Because, again, I post or I put things out there and then I go do other things. I got stuff to do.
Right.
I don't have time to sit on social media the website. Yeah, I'm a business lady. Like, I got interviews, I got meetings, I got deadlines, I got bills to pay, I got tech, literally booked and busy. Like, listen, today.
4 books in 4 years, babe. Just put that on a t-shirt.
I literally don't have time. I don't.
It's just.
So, you know.
Yeah. Said let the haters do what they do. Right. And speaking of haters, I'm seeing a question here about the American Society of Mexican Negroes.
Not you stole my segue.
Please come in, girl, because I'm trying to know what's the tea. Because I was actually on just recently watched it, and I personally I did, and I really liked it. And then I went on Letterboxd because I'm like trying to like
figure out what's the tea.
Well, yeah. I don't know. I don't even know how I figured out, but I guess I was on Letterboxd like I was going to rate it because I liked it. And I saw everybody hated it. I was like,
yes. Well, I think it stemmed. Oh,
no, go ahead.
I think it stemmed from bad marketing, for one, because a lot of people, including myself, kind of thought this was supposed to be how they marketed it as a Black Harry Potter.
Yep.
And that was not, I just see your, that was not the movie that was produced or made at all. And that's, I think, again, they just, they missed the mark with marketing. Damn. And, you know, they, again, even the name, like, people thought it was like, they're like, oh, this is going to be like about this secret cool society of black witches and warlocks and peak magic users. And
yeah,
and it's like, actually, no, it's kind of like a love story, kind of like a cute little thing.
Yeah,
like,
there were so many problems. Right? There were so many problems. Because I, so it's funny, Samer, because I didn't know you watched the movie. I put that in there and I didn't think that you would know what I was talking about.
I would never have watched it, but my boyfriend put it on and I was like, why are we watching this, babe? Like, what? I don't want to watch this. Like, just the name. I was like, this is so weird. But then it ended up being just like really like one of those like low budget, like fun movies, you know, where it's like it's fun to watch late at night in your living room. If I was in the theaters, I could definitely, and I had like an idea of what it was going to be, I would be kind of mad. I wouldn't have wanted to pay a movie theater ticket price for that movie. So I do, when I was looking, I was like, okay, but that makes more sense. And there's honestly a lot to unpack there about like the way people market movies, which I feel like is basically like almost like a book. It's kind of similar, you know? Yeah.
Oh, definitely. There's always those layers from, again, the name of your books to your cover design to your synopsis or your book blurb. Like, all of this is part of your marketing. And if it doesn't fit within the genre or within the category you're putting in, it's going to upset people when they pick it up and they're like, this is not what I was expecting. And now I'm upset because, again, you marketed something else. You know, I'm writing fantasy novels and you can tell they're contemporary and dark because, again, the book covers look that way. You can tell this is not a preschooler's, you know, children's story. Obviously, you can tell that. You can tell it's not a cookbook. You can tell it's not a business book. So, you know, when you mislead with, again, just the name. Was
the name, the was, like the, was, the movie poster was even misleading.
Yeah, like all of it, it misled people. Again, it gives you the perception of what you think. You know, when I hear magical society, I'm thinking, okay, I'm going to get fantasy. I'm going to get all this cool magic, you know, and, you know, all these cool things with, again, black people. And maybe it's going to have lore about witchcraft in America or witchcraft in Africa or any parts of the diaspora, like things like that. And you know,
ooh, that would have been a great movie.
Right. That's what everybody wanted.
Funny and sad.
Yeah. Because even when I watched, so I was one of those people who went into it thinking like that's what it was going to be, like kind of like the Black Harry Potter. Mm-hmm. And then I watched the trailer and I was like, oh, that's not what this is. But then at first I was like, oh, maybe they're trying to do something similar to kind of like, sort of like what American Fiction did, trying to be kind of like almost like satire-y a little and like ironic. But then like when, because I didn't watch it, and now Samer, you can tell me since you did watch it, but when I saw the reviews of people being like, okay, it was bad and it sucked and like this is why, and it was like, you know, and spoiler alert for I guess anybody who actually will try to watch this. Yeah. It was like the whole purpose of the society is that they want to keep, like, the only way to keep their powers is to keep white people happy, like, making them comfortable.
I was mad as hell in the movie. Like,
yeah, which, again, that is a very, like, what?
Yeah.
Like, you
they
have
were
a whole
making points. They were making points that made me think. And I was like, oh, this is really, like, deep. But it was pissing me off to no end. And at the end, thank God, he, like, broke out of that because I was like, these old heads are pushing you in the wrong direction. But it really was it was like a valid point of like the happier white people are, the safe around you, the safer you are. And I, as somebody who grew up in predominantly white spaces, was like, damn, it just kept hitting me on every level of like, oh, like I don't think I'm catering to white people, but so many little micro things that I do came from a fear of making white people uncomfortable. And I didn't even really think about it like that until I watched the movie. So from that perspective, I was like, this is a good movie. But yeah, I think they obviously dropped the ball in a lot of places, which is like, it's a disappointing
a bowling ball and a
Yeah, and then people were upset because it was like the love interest, like she was white. And
she was.
Right.
Well, she was Hispanic.
Okay.
But she was white passing.
So white Latina.
Yeah, and she was like the boss, and then there was this white guy who liked her, and then
Wasn't that really where the conflict came?
Yeah, it was like I recommend it, but at home, and like don't spend money on it.
Like, this is just something you put on when you're cleaning your house, you know, or making dinner.
Very much
or,
so.
You know, you just need something to wind down before you go to bed, but
you want a little cute again, romance. It was cute. Yep. It was cute, guys, but it wasn't. The title gives, you know, like, bam! Like, oh my God.
Like, in your face, magic, black people, flying brooms and witches, like, all that good, fun stuff. And that was not what we got. And again, that's what upset a lot of people. And again, kind of just going back to marketing, it's, you know, if you miss your ball on marketing, you can ruin a lot of your shelf life or longevity of your branding or your products, because angry people are a lot louder than happy people. So, you know, if I'm upset about one thing, I'm telling Google, I'm telling Yahoo, I'm telling Yelp, I'm telling my mama, I'm telling my grandmama, I'm telling all my family in Cameroon, I'm telling all my family in Europe. Like, everyone's gonna know I'm mad. So, you know, it's a lot, and it's a lot harder to convince people to be like, no, it's a good thing when you have so many, again, upset voices. So, again, marketing is such, I keep saying it, marketing is such a big part of any creative space, because movies and some of filmography is a creative space. Like, it's a big part of it to really, again, make sure you have longevity in your work. And when you, again, try to do a gotcha, and your gotcha is that big of a 180, it's like
at least American Fiction, it was like, okay, I walked into that movie expecting what I saw based off of the trailer, and like everything flowed.
Yes,
this was like you said, like total opposite left field, which is why they also had to pull the dang movie 3 weeks from being in the freaking box office, and it only made $2.8 million. Like, it was so bad. Which, and that's the thing, and like people tried to compare it to like The Blackening, and I'm like, but The Blackening, again, it marketed exactly what it was.
What it was, yeah.
Like, you walked in and got what you expected. It's not the same. Like, and clearly The Blackening proves that it can be done correctly.
Yeah. The movies that show that you can, again, not a, like, have a plot twist, right, or, you know, have a surprise to the audience. But again, you know how to market that. Mm-hmm. Not just showing or putting a name in a poster and being like, well, guess what? It's actually a love story between, like, no. I wanted magical Negroes. I didn't want a love story. I wanted to see them flying. I wanted to see them throwing things with magic and glowing spears. No.
Right. I wanted us talking about on Twitter, like, oh, I got this person's power and this person's power. Exactly. Like, you know?
Yes.
Yeah, so.
And that's not what we got, and that's why people write.
They're just going to have to produce your book series, because
right,
that sounds like what we're actually, like, fiending for here as a culture.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I do have, in the works, another series that probably will be, like, a magical Harry Potter, but for college students.
And, fucking fun, because they couldn't drink. And, like, that would have added a whole nother level to the debauchery if they were, like, drunk doing spells. I would have watched that movie.
Oh, yeah. It's again, probably after the series is done, that either is going to be the next series we start with. But I will have a standalone, which I don't want to give too much away about that one, because anytime I pitch it to people, they're like, okay, so you're writing this tomorrow, right? And I'm like, no.
It's in the queue.
Yeah, it's in the queue. Give me like 3 years. It's in the queue. It's coming.
just hold your horses.
Out a second.
Yeah.
Yes.
For 3 years.
Yes.
I'm so weak. Okay.
No, don't even tell me about it, because I'm too impatient. So no, that's no, trust me.
She said that was at me, actually.
Yeah, no, I.
Oh, go ahead, go ahead.
Oh no, I said, oh, definitely, yeah.
I was gonna just say these last couple of questions. Okay, so if you could live in any fantasy world outside of your own, which one would it be, or would you create like a whole new fantasy world of your choosing?
Well, okay, I think it would be a little lazy if I said I'm gonna create a new one. Like, I haven't done that 40 times already.
Yeah.
So probably anything with like folklore. Ooh. Any type of fantasy. Like, I really love the what's the story? What's the folklore enough? Oh my goodness. Let me get it. There's folklore about kind of Cameroon. They have their own type of mermaids called the Jingu. And I'd love to live in one of their stories and just be a little mermaid with an orange tail and green hair.
Stop.
And my little, yeah, just be like, hey.
Or,
yes. But if I want to be chaotic, it'd probably live in like a superhero, like maybe X-Men, because I've been watching the new X-Men series, or not new, but the 97.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, one of their, and just be a journalist and just, and again, I just want chaos. I'm like, yeah, we're just going to go in. Like, we're just going to Lois Lane it up and just,
not Lois,
you know,
Lane.
Follow this. Just Lois Lane it up. Be like reporting live, like they're destroying the city yet again. Another Tuesday, y'all. Evacuate. You know the exit. The bridge is already closed down. Use the helicopter pads. I don't know what to tell y'all. Walk if you need to, because they're probably going to throw your car at something anyway. But yeah, I probably want to live with chaos. I would probably either that or... No, I wouldn't step into any enemy wars. I think I don't think I need to be that traumatized. But I think I can do well and... I say that and I'm like, oh no, I can go to like the X-Men and mutants. Like that's, yeah. Like that's easier.
Right. Like that's chill.
I love it. I love the delusion.
Yeah, again, just a little air of delusion because, you know, yeah, well, the mutants are living perfectly in their universe. You're just having a ball. And I certainly would would not be, you know, would not be prosecuted for any reasons in their universe. Of course not. So, but yeah, if I just want to live on some chaos, I'd probably pick a superhero universe to go throw myself into and just be a journalist, because that's the safest career to do in that type of
environment.
Whatever. This is your universe. So yes,
own it. Well, we have had a time today on this episode, as we figured we would. Winnie, thank you so much for coming on the show today and sharing all of your wisdom and all of your things and just being you, honestly, because you've been so fun to talk to. Yeah. So tell us a little bit about what's next on your own personal TBR outside of all the 50 million projects that you have going on. And then be sure to tell our audience where they can find you. And you've kind of already told us about what's coming up next, but if you want to give any more exclusives.
Oh, yeah. Trust me, there's always something coming. Too many things at once, every time, every day. There's something new, both good and bad, but usually good. But for me, I think we have some more authors we are publishing. We have our first memoir author we're publishing in September, Dan Owens Reed. Yes, and he is just as chaotic as I am, and he's great. And the book is going to be amazing. It's called, I hope because he's going to yell at me if he listens to this, if I say this. I know the book rocks, but I think it's From One Cult to the Next.
I'm captivated already.
Yeah, yes, really good. And super excited for that to be releasing this September. And then we have some more authors we're publishing next year that I'm excited. I can't give too much away yet for them. But yeah, so Wins Books is really, our family is growing rapidly, more rapidly than I thought it was going to grow. So I'm thankful for that. And of course, if you ever want to see me in person, I update my event page on my websites with an S, because I have a lot. I have like four websites. I do tons of in-person events. We do free writing workshops for new authors and writers who want to learn more about the writing process, different aspects of writing. We have one tomorrow, or no, we have We have, excuse me, not tomorrow. We have one once, at least once or twice a month. We usually try to do 2 writing workshops a month. And again, they're free to the community. So you guys can just sign up and just come listen to me and one of my co-hosts just talk about writing and creating books and creating stories and how to do that, how to lead up to, again, submitting to a publisher. And you can find me, again, just about everywhere at Wynn's Books, or again, just typing in Winnie Tottle. My face will pop up and you will know it's me because there's tons of glitter and pink. If it isn't pink or glittery, it's not me. Click out the website. I don't know.
I love that. I love the signature. Yes.
Oh, yeah. Trust. There's every event I do, whenever someone's lost, I'm like, just find the pink booth. That's me. You'll find the pink booth with another person dressed in pink, flowers, or glitter. That's my booth. There's no way you can miss it. And that little, do you know, everyone always goes, the pink booth, we found it. I'm like, I told you.
That's marketing. Will never stray you. The marketing.
Yep. Yes, I am known as the pink lady or the pink lady in glitter. So
I love that.
Thank you. But yes. But the official handles, Twitter, Pinterest, Instagram, Facebook, Barter and Trade, Barnes and Nobles, all of them, just at Wynn's Books or Wynn's Books Publishing is where you can find me and all of my fantastic writers and readers and everything under the sun in pink.
I love that. That's such a good note to end off on. Everything under the sun in pink. Well, thank you again, Winnie, for joining us today. This has been another episode of She Will Read. As you all know, we'll have everything linked in the description, everything that you need to find. But until next time, I'm Alana.
And I'm Samra.
Bye, y'all.
Bye.
Bye, everyone.